to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
You can't fix stupid, but you can numb it with the 2x4.
And Dale Hummel.
Stop trying to be liked by everybody. You don't even like everybody.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Since there's going to be some negative in current events today, I'm going to start with some positive, if that works for you.
Sure.
I had a great Father's Day weekend. I spent it with my family and judging in Utah. The people running the show, Ryan, own a smokehouse right there in town. Amazing. Right on the doorstep of Bryce Canyon. And Chase and I and Holly went to, the girls chose not to, went to the Bryce Museum, and it was all taxidermy animals, primarily from Africa. Got to visit with that gentleman that owns it. It was a great trip. You probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as I, but I thought it was amazing.
That's lovely.
What about the Sphere in Las Vegas? You've been to that?
I have never been. I have driven by the Sphere many times. I have not gone into the Sphere. The Sphere seems very liberal from the outside of it because most times it has things on it that I do not support, so I stay away from it. Where you go and have sex with AI dolls in it, so it's whatever.
So the they have an experience before you go into the theater itself, and you can interact with AI. There's a hologram that's pretty cool. That the experience prior to just okay, as Chase put it, was nothing more than talking to ChatGPT. But once you get into the theater itself, the level of pretty overwhelming. I would strongly recommend it, a little on the expensive side, but an incredibly.
I told you could get a real live Vegas hooker cheaper than AI doll.
Yeah, not the AI doll. AI doll was not impressive. The movie, the experience in the theater was pretty amazing. And we were there just for the Planet Earth movie. And I would say there is a little left lean, at least green lean to it.
See, you told me this is what makes me mad about your Sphere experience or whatever. You talked to me about it or you text me about it. And so now every fourth ad on social media is about Sphere. And
yeah, mine's
guess what liberal bullshit's coming to the Sphere next? Wiccan.
Yeah, that's
the Wizard of Oz.
They had Kenny Chesney there the other night. So that I think they're open to whoever would like to. I would think
whoever will pay them.
Yes, I think a concert in that facility would be amazing. I'm not a huge concert goer by any means, and have gone to three in my entire life. But
I'm the only person that thinks people would show up to go to a livestock show in Vegas. Nobody else will go with me on this idea, but I still think people will do it. So
I mean, look at what the NFR look. I mean, any of the events that I think people. They're looking for an excuse to go. They may not just go, but if they have an excuse like that, they'll do it.
Yeah. Anybody else wants to put a livestock show in Vegas, y'all call me, okay? Because I think it'll work.
Now, the problem was the time of year. I mean, it was 109 degrees there yesterday, and we're not into the...
I didn't say in June.
No, nor July, nor August, nor September. But other than that, I think it'd be good.
Yeah. Okay.
So tell me about let's start with the King riots. How did
okay?
Play
so
out?
the No Kings protest. All right, I don't know if I'm going to offend anybody here. I really don't
sure
care.
You will.
The No Kings protest is about as dumb as Pride Month. And
now you've offended both sides all at once,
and it's pretty dumb. And so. My thoughts on this, I told y'all that I had a rant about Pride Month because like some people have contacted me via social media telling me that I'm a terrible gay person, which I'm totally fine with anyway, because I don't share Pride things and I talk shit about Pride Month and all this other stuff and that I am all these things. I don't care what you do. If you want to go be Pride America, if you want to be a No Kings protest or whatever, I am not anti-expression. I am anti-stupidity. Okay? Let me say that first. And
are you calling Pride Month activities stupid?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yes, I am. I am calling them stupid. And the same thing. No one, the reason they have Pride Month is because there is no doubt that just like people of color, homosexuals have been discriminated against, all this stuff. So I get it. And so the origins of Pride Month, I have no problem with celebrating the adversity that they've overcome, all that stuff. That's fine. That is not what it is now. It is not. That is not what it is. It is a rainbow, glitter-covered, drunk, drugged fetish convention. That is what Pride Month is now.
Naked.
Nobody wants to see half-naked people parading down the street. I don't care who they are. Nobody.
What if those were hot cops that you talk about on TikTok? Or we don't talk
there about There is a time and a... Dale, I wouldn't care if I was straight. I wouldn't want to see... I wouldn't want children seeing naked women running down the street. There's a time and a place for that. And you can go to a gay bar. You can go to a strip club. You can do whatever you want to when you're over 18 or 21 or however, whatever. And get whatever fetish you have, get with it.
Just keep it off Main Street. I agree completely.
The No King protest is equally as stupid because, okay, first off, he's not a king. If he was a king, then, or a dictator, which a king, the first thing that I think of when I think of kings is the King of England. He has no control other than what ribbon he cuts at some ceremony. That's about as much power as he's got. But dictator or king, whatever you want to say, if that was true, the courts wouldn't be blocking his stuff. The big beautiful bill would be passed. All this, that the country would probably be in a lot better shape, but he's not one. He does have restrictions on his power, all this other stuff. And the point, my biggest point on the No Kings bullshit, the people that are doing these protests are the same people that are from the party that decided when their senile idiot Biden could not win, that they were going to forego any type of primaries, crown Kamala without her winning a single vote from the American public, while arresting Trump like four times and trying to get his name taken off the ballot. But he's the king. Explain that bullshit.
That was a good defense case for that.
Explain that bullshit to me. And then after you do that, you can explain to me how half-naked people in all kinds of goofy-ass shit, drunk and drug, driving down the streets of every major metropolitan city are going to like homosexuals more. When y'all have valid arguments for that, y'all come at me.
Any other TikTok news you need to make people aware of just in case they lost you?
Snapchat.
I'm sorry.
I'm very, very angry at Snapchat. I posted on my Facebook, but I don't know how many, whatever. I had a huge Snapchat following, and Dale hates my Snapchat. But anyway, Saturday...
I reported you is why you got taken down, by the way.
I woke up Sunday morning, and my Snapchat had been reported. I don't know why it had been reported. All I can come up with is a glitter slapped a hog in New Mexico. I put that on there. I did the appeal, the review, and they told me that still... my Snapchat had violated their community standards. Somebody had reported me for it, so they deleted my Snapchat account. But then they told me, but you can start another one. So I have started another one. But yeah, I'm very angry at Snapchat. So if y'all want, if you followed me on Snap and you want to follow me again, the new one is RWRSBCC. It's on my Facebook.
And that popped up last night or this morning. And I did not friend you because I thought it was somebody imitating you. But now that I know it's real, yeah, I think that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Amazing. You have plenty of things you could be banned from, but not for that one.
That's so funny.
What else is going on? What about the... I mean, you can go many directions. What about the gentleman in Minnesota that was arrested for shooting a couple people?
I figured you were for
him. Nope, I'm. I didn't. I was in Utah, paying no attention, got home way behind. So I've seen you very little news other than what's coming
from. Advocated for people to shoot people. So I don't.
Yeah, only if it's the right people. Just like I'm in favor of a dictator as long as it's the right dictator.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. I mean, I know it happened, but I don't.
And that he's been arrested and that he went into quite a bit of effort in terms of a disguise and a police vehicle and a lot going on there. And I don't have that much about it. I did hear both sides because I was in the airport delayed for not as long as Ryan, but at least 4 or 5 hours trying to get home. The Army's 250th anniversary, Trump was taking a lot of attacks from the other side, obviously. And I am all about being proud and recognizing our men and women in the armed forces, all great. But I think it did open up for a lot of criticism towards him. I could care less whether they criticize him or not. But that one surprised me a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to get out of New Mexico, which failed, so I didn't see any of it. Or I was actually judging Saturday, and so then I didn't see any of Sunday. I mean, I literally didn't get home till like 8 o'clock last night after I was supposed to be home by like 4 on Sunday next. I didn't see, but like Twitter highlights, X highlights, whatever you want to call it. You know what? If they didn't like the parade, they didn't have to attend. Evidently, a lot of people didn't attend. That's fine. I don't care. I told Clifton and Dale that y'all should be lucky that I am not the president of the United States, because if I could have a bunch of trucks and hot guys in uniform marching down the streets on my birthday, I would. And then I would also probably have the tanks run over anybody that was protesting against it. So I would be way worse.
Speaking of tanks running over protesters, on my news, on one of my feeds, it came up some story, I think a reel, that they only put up protesters being injured where they're running them over. And I found it very entertaining. But Chase was very opposed to me watching that. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Which, my whole thing is, the thing that pisses me off the most about this, and I'm just going to be honest, is they're all saying that Trump did this to celebrate his birthday. How is it Trump's fault that the anniversary, the 250th anniversary of our military, happens to coincide on the day he was born? How can you blame Trump?
I think they're just going to spin it whatever direction, and that was convenient.
Okay, so that's my point. Like, if you want to be mad at something and, like, say, well, this was, like, North Korea, Kim Jong-un, whatever. Okay, do that. Don't sit there and say that this was just a birthday celebration. He cannot control the day he was born or the military was created 250 years ago. That part I found complete bullshit.
I agree. He may have taken advantage of what day it was to put it all together. I don't know, and I don't care. Now, the little bit that I saw.
See, you're even a liberal.
No, I don't. It doesn't. I don't see a need. I think we need to recognize men and women in our service.
There's no need to celebrate 250 years.
No, I think
of the armed
celebrate
forces.
That celebrate the people that are currently in there. That's celebrate what all of doing. It. But I'm saying there's probably
it I don't happened know. To be on his birthday. You're gonna get me wound up, and I'm gonna.
I don't know that the parade really made them feel that much better. I think there's other way. Do a better job celebrating it. Just driving tanks down Brett the street. Bear, I don't know.
Let me give you Brett Baer's take. Okay. Brett Baer, who I think, even though he's on Fox, I think he is one of the more like
neutral
ones. He said that what this was a huge recruiting thing for the military, mm-hmm. and that all the video and all this is going to be used for recruitment, whatever. And he's like, I don't care what y'all say. They couldn't have done, like, to get for what this was actually going to be used for recruitment, to get people into the military. He says it was a brilliant move.
If that proves true, I'm all for anything to recruit more people into the military. And let's treat them a little bit better and pay them
especially
a little bit better.
Especially since we're going to be in World War III.
It does appear that Israel and Iran are not getting along. Do you notice?
You think?
And Trump may be involved in it at some level.
I was right. I sent you the text message. He did tell everyone to evacuate Tehran.
Yeah. It's going to get worse way before it gets better.
And I did. I mean, it. So that
when you have Iran on a daily basis coming out and saying that they will destroy Israel and the United States, that is their mission. That is their goal. That is all they're focused on. And they're getting that close to nuclear weapons. I thought this should have happened a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm happy they took out their nuclear weapons because I don't think there's any other way we were going to stop it. So I'm not in favor of an all-out war or any war or anybody losing their lives. But I believe this action saved far more lives than it's taken. How's that?
I'm not going to disagree with you. There are some people that are trying to say that the Israel-Iran thing is the same thing as the Ukraine-Russia thing.
Totally different.
There's some similarities, but I'm also going to say that the big difference for the U.S., this is the difference that I see in the U.S., okay? While I'm not saying that Putin probably wouldn't like to take over the U.S., he's not telling people in public that he's going to destroy the United States and all this other stuff like Iran is. That's the big difference. While he may think it, he's not saying it. Iran is.
Agreed.
So if the U.S. gets involved more than it's involved in the Ukraine-Russia deal, I understand it. Because of what Iran's saying.
Yeah. I mean, they're, and I don't think they're joking. If they had the capability to take out the U.S. and Israel, I believe they truly would. And this action has limited their ability to do such. That is very black and white, very simple for me. About as simple as you avoiding Gay Pride Month. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. We're into what, day four, day five. I was a little bit surprised that the Iron Dome in Israel didn't hold up maybe as strong as what I assumed it would. And there are some missiles hitting Tel Aviv. But I don't know. I don't know how it ends, but I'm certainly not opposed to doing whatever possible to keep nuclear weapons out of the hands of Iran. And whatever that takes to do, I'm good with it.
Same.
Okay. Well, I once again would like to, do you have any other current events? There's a lot more we could go over, but do you have anything else?
I'm good.
Well, once again, a big thank you to ShowFresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from the drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to swampfox.com. For the second part of my possibly favorite episode, and I did get a few
comments. Yeah, it's only yours because nobody else likes
it. I got a few comments. We'll ask Clifton.
I got nothing.
Downloads are. I received more texts and a couple calls from judges that truly appreciate this information getting out to show management, exhibitors, just what they call simple things that maybe people didn't realize. To you and I don't think any of these answers are that unexpected, but I think it's good just to get out there because
perception... I thought there were some that were unexpected. I'm not going to lie. And I think today will even be more unexpected, but well, there were some last week that I mean, I'm not going to say that I was shocked, but I was like, really?
Well,
no,
today is.
I am glad that somebody said something to you because, like,
yeah, they were all judges.
This did take a lot of work on my end. I'm not going to lie. I had to contact all these people, had to send them their stuff. They were very gracious getting it back to me, and then I had to compile all of it. And I think it's very valuable information. I didn't get any responses, so I'm glad somebody responded to Dale.
Please reach out to Ryan if you enjoyed last week's episode or this one. Perspective from National Show Judges, Part 2. I believe you're starting with goats today.
Yeah, and so just to recap, last week we asked 40 national judges that have all judged a national, a major, a huge show in the last 5 years, the same 20 questions. This week, we asked each of these judges, and it was 10 goat, 10 cattle, 10 hog, 10 sheep. This week, we asked the 10 judges in each species five species-specific questions, or I should say four species-specific questions, and then we asked them all one question that we'll get to, but because there were some things that, you know, are just species-specific that I thought should be addressed and interesting. We're going to start with Dale's favorite species, goats. The first question, which Dale will be greatly offended by, do you prefer goats shown on a chain or a halter? And most of them did, like I said, there's a lot of information when I read this that, you know, said whatever works. But when they came down to an answer, five said chain, five said halter. But overall, most of them commented whatever works best for the exhibit or the goat, whatever. But it was split down the middle, five and five. So Dale will be the most pissed.
See, that doesn't surprise me at all. And I've always, and I explained to our clients, I said, put them on a chain if that's what they show best on, or put them on a halter. It does not matter to me, but don't commit yourself to have to go to one of those if it doesn't work for that exhibit or that goat. That's just common sense. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure judges, obviously they have a preference. Half of them want a halter, half of them want a chain. I just don't think it should matter. I think it should be whatever the goat is going to look the best on.
I don't care either way. There's going to be several of these questions in the species that I think they needed to be asked, because I think they needed the information out there. But again, like I want to stress, a lot of in reading the answers, most people were under the same thing, whatever is best for that animal or that exhibitor, but still the answers are what they are. My favorite question in the goats, and I was surprised by this, because
this one surprises me as well.
I am surprised by it, because if the way this comes out, then we should not see the shit that we see.
Maybe you miscalculated.
No, I didn't. I promise you I did not. Is twine acceptable in fitting goats? Not if they prefer it, not if they're okay with it. The question was acceptable. Will you say that with me again, Dale? Acceptable.
You put thought into how you worded that.
Do we need a definition of what acceptable is, people? Okay.
Continue.
9 of the 10 said it is not acceptable. 1 said it is acceptable. So if 9 of the 10 judges that are big time goat judges right now think it is not acceptable, why in the hell are you people doing this bullshit at every show you go to?
I cannot help you with that one. I cannot. I would not answer it's not acceptable, but if it's done really, really well, which is highly, highly unusual, then I'm okay. But it's probably easier to say it's not acceptable, because the amount of time that it's done really well.
The reason it's not acceptable is because these people are bad at it.
Yeah.
Plaster Paris is not a look.
You don't think molding the legs with your
cast
hands?
Cast and plaster Paris are not a look. No, not.
No, and it's hard to beat if you've got good leg hair that's fit pretty naturally and just looks like, wow, that leg hair has been worked. It's natural. It looks good. That's a hard look for me to beat. Not the solid plaster Paris leg. Nope, that didn't work. It's interesting. Okay. I didn't think that. I knew some would answer that way. I didn't expect 9 out of 10.
Uh-huh. Well, see, and so for all you little bitches out there that say it's just me that doesn't like the bullshit, no, wrong, 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 wrong. 9 of 10 said no.
So you have been the most vocal, probably.
that drives me crazy. So I think that this is a really good, this was one of Dale's questions. This next one, it wasn't mine. It was Dale came up with this. He came up with probably, I think, I don't know if he came up with any other question, but he did come up with this. But and the question was, when a goat is being unruly after so much time, you know, do you go on and pull it, or do you allow even more time? And this was one that they all had something to say about their answer. And all of them said, you know, we try to work through it the best that we can. It's just every situation is different. And I think that is important to note that, you know, every situation is different. And, you know, how the goat is reacting, how unruly the goat is, and, you know, how much time. I mean, we didn't give a time frame, like, do you wait 30 seconds, 2 minutes, you know, whatever. But, you know, they all said that they're going to wait and give exhibitor a chance. But in the end, it was 5 and 5. At some point, I'm going to go on and pull it. And 5 were like, I'm going to allow as much time as possible. Which, at some point, I'm just being honest from me. I'm not speaking from them. You can sit out there. This is like I say in showmanship. We can spend another hour out here, and these kids aren't going to mess up bad enough to decide who wins. You can wait for 5 minutes, and if that goat is still flailing around acting like a jackass, another 5 minutes isn't going to change it, in my opinion. That's mine.
There's a time frame there. Try to look through it. Some are going to be stubborn.
And they all said that they would try, but, you know, eventually they answered the question. So,
yep. Nope. I'm there.
Wait. This was also one of Dale's questions.
But you changed it.
No, I didn't.
I think I said 3 years.
No, you said 5.
Go ahead.
In 5 years, will leg hair be as important in goats as it is in sheep and cattle? I added cattle to the end of it. That's what I changed.
You got it.
Yeah. And will leg hair in goats be as important as it is in sheep and cattle? All 10 said yes. I think it probably is way less than 5 years. I think it's probably here.
Pretty much tomorrow.
And they all seem to say that too. Now, I will say that some of them probably expressed their opinion. They didn't know why or didn't agree with it, but yeah, it's here. And it is what it is.
It's not that it has any practical implication. It's just the dynamic and the look it allows in the ring. Very simple, just like everything else.
So the fifth question, which we asked this to all four of the species, and this question got more commentary than any other question probably in the whole survey, because I don't know, but I want to read this question. I'm going to read it twice, or I'm going to read it in every species. But when you can 100% detect an animal has been unethically altered, does that affect the placing? Yes or no? In goats, all 10 said yes. Now, they all said, you know, it's got to be obvious. This is a difficult question. It's hard to tell sometimes, all this. But in the end, all 10 said, if they can tell without a doubt, because I said 100%, that animal had been unethically altered, yes, it affects placing.
I think that's fair enough, but I think they've got to have a confidence level that I'm pretty sure about it, because I don't see it happen as much as what I see altered animals in the ring. How's that?
Okay.
And sometimes they look through it to a point that you just want to scream.
But that were the 5 goat questions. Now we will move on to Shep. Sheepies. I thought this was interesting too. Is it acceptable for sheep to be shown with a halter? Yes or no? 5 said it's acceptable. 5 said it's not. And, you know, there was some things on this. Little kids, it's fine, but older kids, not, you know, stuff like that. And I don't know. I go back to, this is similar to the chain halter thing in goats. My opinion is, I can remember it was 3 summers ago. I judged like sheep showmanship at like 5 state fairs. And at 3 of them, the girl or the kid that won senior showmanship, I think they were all 3 girls, but I can't remember exactly. But at 3 of them, the kid that won senior showmanship showed their sheep on a halter. And I told them all, I said, y'all probably going to get pissed, but this is what it is. So I go back to whatever it makes that animal presented the best, but in the opinion of these 10, 5 said it was acceptable, 5 did not. Dale, your thoughts?
I don't know. I kind of like the, and maybe it was the way the question was posed, and I didn't read, I assume it's exactly like this. The goat halter versus chain, I would have thought there would have been some that were opposed to it, a few, but most of them, whatever the animal looks best at, is where I bounce back to every time. So I always assume they're going to think as I think, and that's not exactly correct.
Next, I thought the answers to this were very interesting. So the question was, how important is leg shag? And the answers they could have given was vitally important, marginally important, or not at all important. 5 said it was marginal. 5 said not at all. No one said it was vitally important.
So we could now shave the shag off them and they wouldn't mind.
I'm just telling you what the answer is.
Do you want me to call bullshit now or later?
What I'm going to say is if this is true, they said that they can see through it, and I'm not saying they can't, whatever, all this other stuff.
I think every time we have shag, we call it bone. It just
anyway, I just don't understand, like, so many, like, the twine in goats. If it's not vitally important, or if twine isn't acceptable, then why do we see such shaggy-legged lambs and shag-tastic lambs? And why do we see twine so much? I don't know. I found that very interesting.
Agreed. And again, maybe they took it as a little more fundamental in how they interpreted the question, where it doesn't have any practical implications, but obviously it changes the dynamic. And I think we've got to the point, maybe we should have asked another question, and I'm sure we'll do another one of these at some point.
No, I'm never.
But I think there's some lambs, they've got so much, it becomes excessive to the point of distracting. Can you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it needs to be an acceptable window on how much, and then presented and professionally groomed.
Okay. I thought this was interesting. Question, does it distract you, bother you when the exhibitors try and move the sheep as fast as possible around the ring, yes or no? 10 all said, yes, it's distracting, and all of them were very adamant that they really hate when people run the sheep around the ring. So again, this is not just me and Dale.
Do you want to know the first thing I said at the Barn Burner Jackpot in my first sheep class?
Don't run your sheep around the ring.
As they're running, I say, time out or stop, slow down right now. And then
I'm judging two sheep shows this weekend in Wisconsin and South Dakota. So if you're listening, don't run your sheep around the ring.
And I explained, I assume you're trying to hide something if you're running your sheep. And I'm also assuming that's how it originated. But now it's become somebody did it so others are watching, a monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm not seeing as much of? They're not drilling that top down when I'm watching them.
Well, that's
making good. It only took, 5 years?
Right. Only took 5 years.
No big deal.
Question 4 on sheep. Do you think the majority of show sheep are are they too fat? Are they good in terms of their condition? Or are they too lean or raw? And so those were the 3 answers they could give. All 10 of the judges said they were too fat. So once again, all 10 said they were too fat. So once again, all you people giving me shit about that I like my sheep hard and too lean, whatever, the 10 national judges also said that in general, the majority of the sheep that come to them are too fat. So y'all can all bite me.
Did you ask the question about why the sheep kids no longer brace? They just pretend to, if the judges like that?
No, we did not ask that question. No.
And why do you think the sheep are so fat?
I have said this on here. Y'all know that I am old and fat animals drive me crazy. I have decided that the reason that fat makes them look whiter, and I guess that people think they can fool judges into thinking that that's muscle instead of.
And I think that's exactly right. And it smooths the transitions. I think, I mean, something that's fat smooth. We can't argue that. cannot, and it makes them look like they have more width. I'm not even going to say look like more muscle, but more width.
Yeah, that's what I said, wide.
I'm going to age myself a little bit. I remember when we truly had sheep too lean. Do you remember that?
I guess I don't.
But yeah, the Packers would not take them because they had zero.
Oh my God, we're back to this Packer bullshit.
Well, they had nowhere to sell them, so it became a little bit relevant.
Oh my. The question that we asked all four species, if you can absolutely tell a sheep has been 100% unethically altered or enhanced, does that affect the placing? All 10 of the sheep judges said yes, it would affect the placing. So, you know, again, so I'll save my comments for the end on that.
No comment on that one.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving to hogs. I'm not going to read comments from this stuff, but I thought the hog questions for species were probably the most enlightening and the most funny of the commentary that they got. So thank you, hog judges. You know,
before you get into the hogs, I want to give you an update. What? And this came through Fugit, so I have no other.
He wasn't on the survey.
No other. This is just a side note. No other barometer whether he was telling the truth or accurate. I assume he's telling the truth as best he knows it. But at the World Pork Expo in the sweepstakes division, these are all pigs at the show and pig kids competing. Guess what they gave out as a prize?
What?
For the high individual, I assume, in each division. A blower.
Oh, there you go.
Which you don't think anything of that for sheep or cattle or goats, but we're giving out blowers in the hog arena now.
Hi. Whatever.
And I had a couple, a hothouse, what I call a nursery pig, like a 20-pounder, with the legs fully fit at the show this past weekend. And it didn't look bad. It was actually fit well.
Uh-huh. Okay. First question in hogs. Is it acceptable for an exhibitor to show with two hog whips, yes or no? 7 said no, 3 said yes. And also, I think this needs to be mentioned, that everyone said to some point or whatever that showing with two whips at a jackpot show didn't bother them, but it had no place in the ring at like a state fair, a major, or a national show. But there you go on the two whips.
That, and I, you judge far more hog shows than I do, but I did
thank
notice
the Lord.
Two whips in the ring this past weekend. It's a little distracting. Is it acceptable to jackpot? Sure.
I've said that, and you know, again, this wasn't, will it affect placing? Of course it's not going to. It's just, is it acceptable? Whatever. The two whip stuff at jackpot shows doesn't bother me unless it's showmanship. And I judged a very competitive hog show this past weekend in New Mexico, and there were a couple of kids in showmanship that had two whips, and I wasn't a fan of it. I'd just be honest, but
you beat them for it.
Well, they didn't win.
So then I answered the question.
I mean, they didn't win. So I'm skipping around a little bit on the hog ones because I can. I thought this was interesting. And showmanship is an exhibitor's ability to pin their hog and get in and out of the pin without assistance from ring help. Is that vitally important, marginally important, or of little importance? 6 said little or no importance, 3 said marginal, and 1 said vital. So there you go. It drives me crazy that, because I have stated on here several times that I think the purpose of becoming a good and great showman is to give you an advantage when you're actually trying to win the big money or the big banner or get the sale hole or whatever. And when those things happen, people are making sure that you're getting in and out of the gate and all this other stuff. And at this level, even at most jackpot shows, those hogs are so trained to do whatever. I just think that there are still some people that if the kid can work the gate or not is the end all in showmanship. It drives me nuts. It really does.
I believe this goes back a couple decades where we're at one point.
It does, but we're decades later.
Yes, I agree. I'm just giving you an explanation that was a pretty big deal. I'm not saying it's right or wrong or any of that.
No, it was the only deal at some point, okay? And I'm fine with that, but we're not there anymore.
And I still have show management sometimes ask me, are we allowed to help the
every
kids get
every show I go to, they ask
not
me.
Every, but.
Yes, every, no, every, I am not kidding you. Every hog show that I judge, I swear to you, I mean, one out of 100 may not. They ask me, now in showmanship, or you don't want us to get the gates. I was like, yeah, you get the gates. And they all look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, maybe you're an outlier on this one. Maybe.
Six said it wasn't of no importance.
I'm not arguing any of that. I'm just giving you perspective that a lot of people still believe it is. I'm not saying that it's right. But I have no issue with the fact that if they can get it in and out smoothly, that they've worked with that pig and it's been trained. But on your top end, all of those are going to be that way. At a county fair, probably not. They're going to have a larger percentage of them that couldn't do it. So I think it really depends on the show you're at, and the mental state is simply this is how it's always been done, and this is your way to indicate whether or not it's they've worked with that pig. So, but I knew that one said I knew you'd go off on it.
Mm-hmm.
Predictable, you are predictable.
Mm-hmm. The question that we asked everybody, all the species, if you can absolutely tell a hog has been unethically altered or enhanced, does that affect the placing? All 10 said yes. So. I will get to my comments on that at the end, but and I'm sure Dale will have plenty of comments too. But the two questions that I found probably the most interesting of the entire thing are the next two in hogs. And I want you to listen when I read this, because this is how the question was posed to them. Do you like paint or dye used on hogs? Yes or no? Okay, so I'm going to read that again. Do you like paint or dye used on hogs? Yes or no? 6 said no. 4 said yes. Now, this got stronger reactions than these next two questions. This one and the next one got stronger reactions from the judges, from any of the judges on anything. There was more commentary. There was more sentences, all this other stuff. I thought one of the best answers was that they do not like it, but their kids also show, and when they show to win. So they have to do it right now. But like one of the judges was very graphic in his dislike for this, as in F no. And so, but the number of hogs that I see at shows that are painted or dyed, I would say it's over half now, or right at the half mark. And 6 of these judges, and I'm not trying to whatever. These 10 hog people, these are real big national judges that judge. Like all the shows. And 6 of them said no, that they don't like it.
Damn. Do you think all of them, if it's done well or dyed well, they even know it?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do think they know it.
Some animals get through fairly large shows that are dyed and people are unaware.
Yeah, but that goes back to a question that we asked in 20. You're not there to enforce the rules.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I'm not saying from a judge's perspective. I'm just making a comment that sometimes I think judges and others are unaware that if it's done well.
I don't know about everybody. I'm going to say these 10 definitely know.
You would assume.
I'm telling you, they know. If a hog has been painted or dyed, they know. These 10 that answered this, they know. But I found that interesting. So the second question was, we took it one step further. Do you like glue or adhesive used on hogs? Yes or no? This got even more viral reactions. 8 said no. two said yes. And once again, the one comment that I appreciated, two of them, the one that said F no to paint went even further on the glue and adhesive. And then the one that said, you know, I really dislike it, but when my kids show, we go to win. So we do what we have to do. But eight, it even went further. It went from 6 to 8 that they don't like glue or adhesive used on hogs.
So this is interesting. So there's obviously...
And you can't tell me that you don't know when a hog is glued.
No, what I'm saying is there's obviously a perception issue. If the majority of the national show hog judges don't like it, yet the majority of the hogs that are being shown are going to be glued.
I'm not going to say that the majority that I see are glued. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a lot, but I don't know if it's the majority. I do think that over half of them that I see in a ring have been painted or dyed at this point. Not that many have been glued, but that's kind of the hot trend topic right now in hogs. And so I thought those answers and responses were very, very interesting.
And from an exhibitor perspective, I'm not opposed if they allow you to glue and dye and paint. I'm not opposed.
Now, wasn't about breaking rules.
No, yeah. If it's allowed and that exhibitor believes it's going to benefit the look of that animal to that specific judge, have at it. I think this is more about just trying to get perspective that a lot of judges don't seem to be in favor of it.
Yeah. I like
now that that's not saying they won't use them, but
no, they didn't. I just said the question was, do you like it? And so, I think that that's important because, again, I don't think any of the, I'm not saying that these things affect any of these questions affect their preferences, affect the placing. But if I don't like something and I see it, I'm going to say that that puts a negative connotation in my head when I'm judging. Like, I don't like twine.
Not a disqualifying, but a negative.
It's not disqualifying. Have I used goats that are twine? Have I used cattle that are twine? Yes, but I don't like it. And so you're already got a negative going for you when the goal is to only have positives.
That would be a great statement. Good approach.
So there's that. Moving on to the show cows of it all. I found this absolutely fascinating. Is twine or fake hair acceptable in showing cattle, yes or no? Because before I read the results, this is a widely spread thing. Like it happens just as much as if it doesn't, in my opinion. 8 said it was not acceptable. 2 said it was acceptable. And I do want to say that even one of the judges that said it was acceptable said that 95% of it that he sees is laughable at best.
95%.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, Dale, do you not think that way more cattle people twine than goat people?
Oh, I mean, I just think that's where it all began, and there's
yeah. Right. And 8 of these judges say it is not acceptable.
I don't think up until today, for sure, that the exhibitors weren't getting the message. Would you agree?
That's what I'm saying. And that's the purpose of this.
Yes.
That goes to my point. That's the purpose right there. They're not clearly. You wouldn't be twining as many goats. You wouldn't be twining as many cattle if they knew this. And so that is my hope for this, that this information does get out there and maybe some of you people will change what you're doing. But next question, I thought very, 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 very interesting as well. Do you think there is not enough emphasis placed on muscle in show heifers? Mr. Angus, I'm sure you have an opinion about this.
I've always been a very strong proponent of muscle. If we that muscle,
yes, and, no, and we know you like it.
In product is muscle.
We're very well aware.
There's nothing wrong with having a little muscle in a female.
Five said yes, five said no. Split right down the middle. If there was enough emphasis on muscle in show heifers. And, you know, that is something that I hear a lot. That's why I wanted to ask that question. Oh, none of these heifers have any actual width. They don't have any muscle.
They're dairy cattle that we've got fat and hairy.
And so that's why I put that question in there. And I thought it was the fact that they're split just dead down the middle. I think that's telling right there that we're that divided on it. Of course, Mr. Angus there, all of his have so much muscle. They're wonderful.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm a proponent of having muscle in females. Just because they have muscle doesn't mean they're not going to calve, or it makes them non-functional. By no means can I make a correlation there, which is a hot topic coming up soon.
There you go. This was a personal question for me, just because I've lived in the state that started slick shearing, and I was there when it began, and so I've lived with it. Do you think more state fairs or national shows should offer a slick sheared division? Yes or no? Once again, we were split straight down the middle. Five yes, five no. I think that is really interesting because slick shearing is a very polarizing topic. I'm going to tell you from someone that's had to deal with it my whole life, I would much rather show with hair, but been very successful in the slick sheared game. I appreciate shows like the Indiana State Fair that have offered a slick sheared division. The American Royal Spring Show offers a slick sheared division. I appreciate that. I wish that more would do it. That's why I asked that question. I also wish that somebody that happens to get to judge one of those shows would one day, if the calf was the best one, have the intestinal fortitude to use a slick one at a hair show. But we'll see if that ever happens. But I think it is, and y'all know I'm not a participation trophy person, but I can tell you it is just as hard to make one look amazing and immaculate with no hair as it is with hair. I think it's harder, in fact. And so, but there is a section of exhibitors that aren't going to have a cooler. More than that, there are just cattle genetics out there that those animals are not going to grow hair. Period. I don't care what type of conditions you put them in. And so I thought it was a good question to ask. I liked it. Half of them thought more should. I'm personally for it.
I'm with you. If there are exhibitors that would like to compete in that division, if you put that class out there and it fills up or we get a good number to go that direction, absolutely. The more options, the better. I much prefer offering a slick division than dictating it has to be. How's that?
What? Say that again. I'm sorry.
I'm much more in favor of offering a slick sheared division such as Indiana State Fair.
Oh, no. Yes. Now I want to say that too. Like,
I think it's great. I think it opens up the genetic pool. There's cattle that are bred to be slick calves. There's cattle that are bred to be hair calves. They're different cattle.
I would much rather show with hair than slick, but I don't want anything to be forced on anybody. I don't want slick shearing forced on anybody. Let me say that. I want to put that out there. Thank you for bringing that up. I do not want any other state to whatever to force anyone to slick shear their cattle. I don't want that. But if it is an option, I think that's cool.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I think the slick show at Indiana has really kind of taken off and fairly popular.
Yeah. And as far to my knowledge, other than like Texas and then the LSU show in the spring in Louisiana, it's a slick sheared steer show. I think Indiana was the first to offer it up in your country as an option.
Agreed.
But so there's that. I was a little interested. I guess this question, the results don't interest me. I thought the comments interested me. Do you think that the backdating or overaging of breeding animals and cattle is out of control? 9 said yes. 1 said no. I got a lot of commentary.
They expanded.
Yes, on this.
Summarize for us.
They think it's ridiculously out of control.
Well, maybe they're the ones that should just sort them on quality and not size.
Just saying, I can't disagree with them. I mean, like, we've talked about it here. I don't know what the solution is, but I mean, obviously it's a problem, but there we are with that. So those were the ones. And again, the one that we asked all species, and I'll give my synopsis of this. If you can absolutely tell that an animal has been unethically altered, does it affect the placing? Yes or no? All 10 said yes. So all 40 of the judges said, if they know that animal has been messed with, that it's going to affect the placing. And I applaud that. I agree with that. I am the first one to tell you, because we've talked about this before, I have to be absolutely sure. That's why I worded it that way. If I am 100% absolutely sure, yeah, it's going to be a problem and it's going to show up in the placings. I appreciate that all 40 of these that Judge National shows have the same mindset. And I hope that will send a signal or a message to those people that are out there doing this, maybe not such a good idea. I don't know if it will. I have a little tendency to agree with Dale to some extent that I have seen shows where I wasn't in the ring, and so I don't know. But I think, you know what? That one looks like there could be something going on there. Sometimes it didn't win. Sometimes it did. Sometimes fell in the pack, all this other stuff. But Dale and I have both said multiple times that if something ends or greatly hurts the junior show industry, it's going to be this unethical altering bullshit that's out there so much right now. I just think that it's something that needed to be asked. I'm glad that all of them said yes, that if they knew it, it was a problem for them.
And I don't think there's any other way they could answer it, honestly.
That's not very nice.
It's just the truth. And I believe most of them truly believe that. But I just don't think there's very few people are going to answer it any differently, even if they don't believe that. It's so difficult. And I don't hesitate in the ring if I'm 99% sure, I'll take 1% off there. But every time that I've discounted or placed an animal down because I thought it had been screwed with, there was no question in my mind that it had been. I think there's a gray area where there's a lot of them that have been screwed with, especially those that are good at it, that are going to get away with it. And because of that, it continues to propagate itself. And I also believe there's a lot of people judging county or jackpot show level shows that either don't know, maybe a little confused about it, or don't care and will continue to use them. Because of that, it continues to propagate itself. Even though these judges, I believe these judges that we surveyed, those 40, almost all of them, if not all of them, if they knew, would discount the animal. I do believe that. But I think you're surveying a very top tier set of judges versus 99% of the judges out there in the world.
Still always the pessimist and the liberal, but anyway. So
Thank you.
You're welcome. There you go.
I am good with this. I did have several judges reach out to me and just say, thank you. I'm glad this information's out there. I thought maybe that I was the only one that thought this way, and they're hoping that show management, exhibitors, everybody kind of pays attention and listens. And I think it's really, really good information. And Ryan, I thank you for putting this together. I did absolutely near zero of it. So I take no credit for it.
Nope, two go questions.
And I appreciate you taking the time to do so. Mm-hmm. With that, you've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Be Gone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assists with County Fair Premium Auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They live it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on purchases. Your favorite, Ryan, your favorite question and answer.
Uh-huh.
Cole, I have a question for question and answer. Which is better to use on cattle, a drench gun or a pump? Is there benefits to both?
So I guess it depends on what the amount of liquid that you need to get in there. I am telling you that if it's more than a drench gun or two full, I am always going to be pro pump. I think it is much safer. I think it is less obtrusive, etc. Like I said, if it's just a small amount and you can get that in there with, you know, two drench guns full, then I'm fine with it. But I am pro pump the whole way.
I think that's a good answer. That strictly on volume, if you only have to put 50 mils of something in, probably much easier just to do it with the drench gun.
Right.
And I think there are some shows that have rules against pumping that the drench gun might be.
Oh, yeah. I should have put that up at the beginning. You got to check the rules of the show, because there's very few cattle shows that have rules against drench guns. There are lots that have rules against cattle pumps. I didn't think about putting that at the start. Thank you for doing that. But if there's not a rule and it's more than a couple of drench guns full, I'm pro pump.
Yeah, I mean, just think about if an animal's not wanting to drink, trying to keep it hydrated, the drench gun, just almost impossible.
It's very difficult.
So good, 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 good. Cassidy, I'm a first-year show mom, although I showed as well. My question is, what are some of the pet peeves of the seller during show buying season? Or what are the do's and don'ts of a buyer when talking to the sellers?
No,
have not had a question like that yet.
The do's and don'ts.
So in other words, as a buyer, this is a mother, obviously reaching out to breeders or brokers that are selling. Are there things you maybe want to avoid, or what are redirecting it? What are the pet peeves of that seller not wanting to upset the seller? I assume is what we're going for.
Oh, this could be a whole topic, probably.
Good question.
Oh, yeah, it is a very good question. And like I said, there's too many. I think probably the biggest pet peeve as a seller, and just my opinion, is, and they have to deal with it regardless, is when people want to haggle or negotiate on the price.
Like that's a good one.
That is a good one. As a seller, I think that is probably...
If you have an online sale, you don't have to deal with that.
Right. And then things that, as a buyer, this is going to sound real vague, but I'm telling you, I've been in so many situations where I've seen this happen. You just try your damnedest to not offend them about the animals or their operation or something or anything like that, because if you do that, and especially if it's a private treaty type situation, either the price went way up or they're not going to sell it to you. And I want to say that I don't think that anybody means to offend anybody. But I'm telling you, more times than not, I've been in a situation where somebody said something that they thought was completely harmless, and it just literally was like a burr under somebody's saddle.
Agree. This, Cassidy, this is a really good question. And Ryan, you're right. Maybe this turns into a whole episode. And I can try to answer it. I'm sitting here today recording, and we have a sale going on today. And I have probably 10 messages sitting here on my phone. And you may have noticed I was distracted, Ryan, once there. I was actually answering one, and then I quit. But it's bothering me that I can't give a quick response right back to those people asking questions or wanting videos. My biggest, if there is such a thing as a pet peeve as a seller, is those buyers that are afraid to reach out because they're afraid that they're going to take up too much of my time or bother me for asking questions. I want you to ask as many questions as you possibly can. I want you to do everything possible to find the animal that fits your family's goals, budget, expectations, all of those things. And the only way to do that is to reach out and ask those questions if you can't be there in person. Even if you can be there in person, and we've been very fortunate, we've had a lot of Texans come through the last couple of weeks that are able to look at them, but you still need to ask those questions and try to get some input from the breeder side of it or the manager, whoever that you're working with right there. So to me, I'm going to encourage more questions, more contact, more information. You're going to spend how long with that animal, depending on what the species, every single day, and the amount of time, commitment, monetary value, all those that goes into it. I would sure think you want to do everything possible to make sure that's the right one for you. And we're not always going to find that. We can't always predict how biology is going to mature itself or things like that. But putting all the effort in you possibly can to limit the room for error has to be something I would think is there. So I tell buyers, please reach out. Yeah, it does take a lot of time on my side, but guess what? That's my job. That's our livelihood. And I don't know why buyers would hesitate to reach out other than the fact that maybe they have in the past and sellers just didn't want to respond or acted bothered by it. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I can assure you if those people that are selling the animals, if that is their livelihood, I cannot imagine they wouldn't want to accommodate that. So I think absolutely great question, Cassidy. This was
good. Just to follow up, episode 101 is The Art of Deal. I don't remember everything that went in that, but the synopsis
you're right.
Says Ryan and Dale take you down a path of negotiating the purchase and sale of show stock. I don't think
we covered a lot of that.
We did, but I mean, I'm not saying that it's not worth a refresher because I don't know if we went into pet peeves or something like stuff like this, but just in case you wanted to listen to that one, 101 was The Art of the Deal.
No, that is good. And I think that there's no question. I'm living this every day and people are hesitant to reach out. They're almost apologetic for taking up your time. And I appreciate that. And that's great because it seems like there's never enough time. But in this situation, I'm going to encourage everybody to reach out, whether it's to me or whatever species or whatever breeder or broker that you're buying from, contact them. It's very simple for me. Molly, hello, Dale and Ryan. What is your opinion on a judge who doesn't handle the animals at a show? We attended a show this weekend and the judge didn't touch a single animal all day long. It was all four species, and my kids showed lambs and goats. We've been working hard teaching our kids the importance of feeling your animal, and I could tell my kids were confused when they didn't get handled in the ring. Thank you for your podcast. Ryan, did you not handle an animal this weekend?
I judge pigs, and no, I
saw you handle a pig. You got kicked off of what? Snapchat?
I slapped a pig. Glitter slapped a pig. I did not handle a pig.
Cade taught you how to handle pigs.
No, he has not.
He taught you.
No, he has not yet. If we ever get to judge together, he's going to teach me how to handle a pig. So therefore, I think that some state fair should get me and Kay to judge together so he can train me on handling pigs. I think it would be great fun for everyone. Anyway, but I have not, since I have not gone through the Cade Hummel certification of pig handling, I do not do that yet. Next. This lady is not going to like my answer. And Dale is not going to like my answer.
Did you handle the sheep and goats this weekend?
I didn't have sheep and...
Oh, sorry. When you have sheep and goats, do you handle them?
Would you let me answer?
No, I would like a yes or no answer before you move forward.
Most times, yes. Okay. But
continue.
The only reason I do is because of this woman's question right here. because people get upset when you don't. I do not. There would only be probably 10% or less of the time that I actually put my hands on a sheep or a goat, because I can read just as much with my eyes as I can my hands. And you say, how do you know that? Because I know what my impression is before I handle them. And very a minuscule amount of times has it been different. I'm not going to say it hasn't ever been different. But if I ever thought, well, maybe, then I would put my hands on them. And so it would be less than 10% of the time, but people would go insane. And I'm not saying this lady is going insane, but she's saying this was confusing to her kid. She doesn't understand it. That is the only reason I put my hands on the animals, so we don't have that type of response or issue at shows. I don't think it's necessary. It's not for me. I don't know who the person that judges. It is not necessary for me to. Dale will not like that answer.
I would say that the handle has become less of a priority or less important, maybe, and I hate to say that, over the years because of the disconnect.
Well, all the sheep judges said they were too fat already, so yeah. Maybe you don't want them to put their hands on them.
So to me, the disconnect between the real world and what that market animal, if we're talking about market animals primarily, what that market animal is going to be in the carcass form, I think handling them does give you a little added perspective on that. Not going to change most of the time, probably, if it's somebody that's fairly experienced and has looked at animals that are hung upside down and looked at them live first and so forth. But I believe it has evolved to become less and less important. I guess at this point, if I think about the market lambs, they do a pretty good job of sculpting those lambs and making them look pretty cool. And you can tell fat ones from lean ones visually, but I am still surprised because of how fat we're getting these market lambs. When I do get my hands on them, it's like, wow, these things are even fatter than what I thought. So in that situation, it's still a benefit for me personally. And I think the other thing that I'm handling for, if it's cattle, maybe just a little bit on that, we do such a good job fitting that hair. Not that it's going to make a huge difference anymore. We used to always say, well, we need to hit that or have a chance to get the low choice quality grade. I think many judges have thrown that out the window. Many wouldn't know what the low choice quality grade even is. But the fact that they have some finish and it's relatively uniform, a little bit of some importance to me. And if we get into the goats and even the sheep again, but sheep, it's primarily just to handle just how fat are they is a question in my mind. And on goats, it's maybe a little more about a manner of hydration and just what I call a fresh handle. You can usually see most of that anyway, but that is confirming of it. But I am with Ryan. I'm going to say most judges, or I'm going to put myself in that position, 80 to 90% of the time, I feel very comfortable that I don't need to handle. I don't have a problem doing it because it's a good time to interact with kids when we're doing so. I believe they do expect that. And on occasion, there will be something different than what I saw visually. So
that occasion is small.
It is. Nope, I agree. And the other thing is, and I shouldn't even have to bring this up, but I'm going to. But if I'm handling a lamb or a goat with crunchy top, I may not have noticed that before I put my hands on them. When I say crunchy top, that altered or unethically altered situation that all 40 judges say they're going to beat him for. So very, very good. I think these were great question and answers. Good episode, Ryan. Hopefully it's enlightening for most. I hope your Snapchat rebuilds itself. I did not add Ryan.
Katie
back,
just added me.
She should be working her calves right now, by the way. And
maybe she's working her calves on the blower and adding me on Snap. That's Thank you, crap. Katie.
Katie is, I'm going to find Katie as soon as we finish this recording, and we'll visit why she's on her phone while she's working calves. I thought it was somebody trying to imitate Ryan. So Ryan, I apologize. I did not add you. Now I know. We'll get you back at it. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now. You hear?